It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, October 14th. I'm Patricia Naft. Colorado voters are receiving mail ballots this week for next month's election. And as Benta Berglund reports, people should check with the Secretary of State's office if they don't receive a ballot soon.
Mail ballots are sent to every registered voter in the state, even if someone failed to vote in the last general election. Republican Secretary of State Wayne Williams says the only way a voter won't receive a mail ballot is if the address is incorrect.
Because ballots don't forward, and so that's possible the person may have left the district or the county, and so that's why it's important to make sure that registration's accurate.
Most of the questions on this year's ballot are local tax and spend issues and city council and school board races, with only one statewide issue. In several counties, Colorado is also testing a new voting system this election. It will replace aging systems ahead of the 2016 presidential election. I'm Benta Berglund at the state capitol.
The Mesa County Health Department is hosting an open house today to celebrate its partnership with the Marillac Clinic. The two-hour event starts at 4 p.m. KVNF's Laura Palmisano has more.
Last year, the county received a $1.2 million grant from the Colorado Health Foundation to collaborate with the Marillac. With those funds, the county remodeled its health building to add additional space for the clinic. Jeff Kaur is the executive director of the Mesa County Health Department.
What we had before was family planning and immunization, but then Marillac is a primary care medical facility, and they do also have a mental health practitioner as well. So it's full-service primary care and then women's health services and immunization for family plan.
He says the co-location allows both agencies to improve health access for Medicaid, underinsured, uninsured, and undocumented county residents.
We don't want there to be the appearance of or the perception of any sort of barrier to care. People with a lower household income can qualify for subsidies, so it's based on a sliding fee.
The facility is also on the same campus as the county's Department of Human Services and Workforce Center.
All these agencies have programs that can refer into this clinic. It really is a very nice setup.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
A federal environmental rule regulating waterways is on hold after a U.S. appeals court issued a nationwide stay last week. Inside Energy's Lee Patterson reports.
The controversial Waters of the United States rule clarifies that waterways like streams and wetlands are protected under the Clean Water Act. But industries like agriculture and energy, as well as individual farmers and ranchers, argued that the scope of the so-called WOTUS rule made it costly and confusing to do business. Mark Squillaci, a natural resources law professor at the University of Colorado, says our nation's waters need this sort of protection from pollution.
And I think the continued bickering over the scope of the government's authority under the Clean Water Act is really unfortunate.
The ruling is the latest court action following a lawsuit filed by 12 states, including North Dakota, Wyoming, and Colorado. For Inside Energy, I'm Lee Patterson.
U.S. Representative Scott Tipton is planning to visit the Western Slope Thursday and Friday. KVNF's Laura Palmisano spoke to the Republican congressman ahead of his trip.
Congressman Tipton, you're coming to the Western Slope this week. What are you going to be doing here?
You know, Laura, we're really looking forward to the opportunity to be able to sit down with students at Grand Junction High School, talk about the importance of policy, importance of participating in political process. Also an opportunity to be able to sit down with West Slope Industries. We like to be able to visit small businesses and hear the challenges that they're facing. We're also going to be in Ridgeway and have an opportunity to be able to sit down with National Association of Rural Counties, to be able to hear their issues and how policies at Washington are benefiting or hurting some of the challenges that our county commissioners are facing.
Your congressional district in Western Colorado comprises of a lot of rural communities. What are some issues that you're hearing about from constituents?
You know, as we travel to our 29 different counties in the 3rd congressional district, the number one issue that we're hearing is about jobs and the economy. We've got a tale of two economies in Colorado right now. The urban area, meaning primarily Denver, is doing pretty well. But once you step out of those boundaries, we're continuing to see businesses that are struggling. We're incredibly mindful that for the first time since we've been keeping records, we have more small businesses that are shutting down than there are new business startups. We have the lowest labor participation rate in this country since 1978. And as businesses are communicating to us, they're feeling the real impacts of regulatory compliance. And not one of them suggests that there shouldn't be regulation, but they want to be able to have sensible policy, policy that works, policy that is helping them not only achieve the common goals that we have for public safety and good products, but also to be able to have some real consistency so that they know what to plan on, to be able to grow those businesses, and to be able to employ more Coloradoans who desperately right now need jobs.
One of the pieces of legislation you were working on this session had to deal with small community banks. Why did you bring that forward, and why did you see that as something that could benefit rural Colorado?
You know, as I toured through the 3rd District, let me give you one example that speaks to many that I heard. Was in Pueblo, Colorado on Union Avenue. I went into the Hopscotch Bakery, and the proprietor there, Mary, I'd asked, what's your number one issue? And it was access to capital. And we've heard that echoed throughout the 3rd District. The challenge, ultimately, that our community banks are facing under Dodd-Frank with one-size-fits-all regulation, which is driving up their costs. And the reason this legislation that I put forward in terms of the small bank exam cycle and another piece of legislation which I've introduced that we'll be marking up in November, the Taylor Act, is to be able to address that over-regulation in terms of applying the same standards of big banks to small banks. The reason it's important for our district, for our rural communities, is it's inhibiting the ability of banks to be able to make loans that they would like to be able to make, but regulatorily they're inhibited from doing so. It's also driving up costs for consumers. They want to be able to be competitive. They want to be able to help these businesses to be able to grow. And those regulations do have a price tag associated with them. Both of my pieces of legislation do is they're addressing some of the impacts of Dodd-Frank, not eliminating all of the regulations, but bringing sensibility to the small community banks and for small credit unions as well.
Thank you for your time, Congressman Tipton.
Thanks so much, Laura. I appreciate it.
That was Republican Congressman Scott Tipton speaking to KVNF's Laura Pomisano. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.